Hello and welcome to Backflips and Nerds. It's Tuesday, the 19th of September, and this is episode number 47. We're closing in on that big 5-0. I'm your host tonight, Tom Pringle. You can find out all about our website and our blog on backflipsandnerds.com. There's plenty of writing on there from old. We haven't done anything for some time, but there will be some write-ups coming soon, potentially some playoff previews, etc. But I'm not alone tonight. Unfortunately, the skinny jean wearing bespectacled John McGee is not with us. Instead, we've got Pokemon Go playing, Snapchat snapping, GIF machine Ben Carter. How are you, Ben?
I'm good. Yeah, very good. 2 weeks in a row, which is rare for me these days. But I'm doing well.
I'm impressed with that, mate. What's the deal with MLB UK? Have you on like a? Have you got some of your contract like a stipulation? Say how often you can come on.
Yeah, I've obviously been gagged by all the MLB lawyers not to say anything that could jeopardize them. But I'm allowed to come on and just prompt, just sort of plug them for an hour. So that's what I'll be doing.
Oh, mate, that's perfect. So I think every single line should finish with MLB underscore UK.
Yeah, come follow us. MLB underscore UK.
Unfollow this. Follow MLB UK.
Quite.
And also, we've got the guaranteed rate field veteran that is Darius Austin. He's returned from America. How are you, Darius?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I made it out of guaranteed rate field alive. I survived seeing the Giants play a baseball game, which is a bit of a ordeal usually this year, but I made it through. I'm okay. So, yeah, it was a great time. I'm sure we'll get onto it all shortly.
Yeah, definitely. And especially an event that happened for the Giants, which must have been amazing. But we'll get onto that. Cool. So we're kind of in baseball slow period. It's a bit of a cool down at the moment where we're getting the 40-man rosters suddenly get thrown onto the field and you're seeing relievers called like Jack Smithson appear and people like that. I don't even know if that's a real reliever. I just picked that name out. This is very much the calm before the storm. So we're kind of seeing things sort of wrap up for most divisions, but we'll get onto that in a bit. But first, I really want to chat about your trip, Darius. So just give us the rundown of what happened.
So I went to three games over there. I was actually over there ostensibly for a wedding. I think the people who had the wedding kind of knew that I was actually there to see baseball, but I tried to maintain the pretense the whole time I was there. So we had kind of a group outing, the wedding party, going to the baseball. So that was at Wrigley. Saw the Cubs playing the Braves there. The highlight of that was probably Matt Kemp attempting to field a sort of John Jay bloop hit to left field, in which he sort of sprinted towards the ball, completely overran it. The ball sort of bounced harmlessly past him, rolled into the corner, and John Jay was at third with a stand-up triple. So I've never seen awful Major League outfielding in live action before, so that was quite entertaining to see. I know Matt Kemp's, by the metric, is terrible, but this was kind of a live example.
Could you see that happening? Could you like see it developing in front of your eyes, or were you just looking thinking, oh no, he's going to get this?
It was kind of like I was kind of waiting. Not much had been hit to Kemp prior to that, so it looked a bit dubious from the off, really. It was kind of an awkwardly slicing ball, but you could kind of tell he seemed to be thinking he could just charge into it, and it wasn't really that kind of hit. It was kind of bounced right down the line, and then yeah, it went horribly wrong from there. But that was very entertaining. That was probably my highlight of the game, I think.
Did you heckle him about his defensive run saved?
I was very tempted, but we weren't quite behind him. I was a little way over. We were kind of in left center, really. Had I been directly behind him, I would have given it a go, I think.
Metrics don't like you.
Most fans don't like you.
Yeah, I tried to explain to some of the other people that the metrics didn't like Matt Kemp afterwards. I'm not sure anybody knew what I was talking about.
Poor bloke. So that was Wrigley. So what was what was your food of choice there?
I had an actual Chicago-style hot dog. I learned in Chicago that they're very militant about not putting ketchup on hot dogs.
What?
I went in a hot dog place. There was actually a poster up basically saying, you know, if you put ketchup on hot dogs, then we will kill you or something to that effect. I may be overstating that slightly, but it was pretty pretty adamant that you were not allowed to do this. They put all sorts of things on it. Celery salt was on there. I honestly can't even remember the full list of ingredients, but it's quite extensive and it doesn't include ketchup.
Is that just a Chicago thing then? Is that just what they did?
That appears to be a Chicago thing, yes. That's what a Chicago-style dog is. I think I liked it more than the Chicago-style pizza, which is just is made out of pastry and it's like, yeah, it's the super deep variety. I don't think the Italians would approve, to be honest with you. I tried both of those. I didn't try the pizza at the game, but I tried the hot dog. So that was good experience, proper ballpark food.
There's a strange mentality I find with Americans though in food, where they believe, well, sometimes they believe that they invented something. So I remember being in Vegas and walking down the road, and there was a poster on the side of the road that said, come to Joe's Pizza Place, whatever it's called. Italian food so good, you'll think you're in New York. It's just an awful, but why would they do that?
Yeah, I mean, you would think Italy would be the go-to location for Italian
maybe,
food.
Maybe Naples or Napoli, where pizza was invented, but never mind. So what was your second game then?
So the second game, that was actually at your favourite, Guaranteed Rate Field. This kind of came about because I don't know how many people noticed, but the Cubs did something they haven't done for a very long time, and they moved their Friday lunchtime game to a Friday evening. I think it was the first Friday night game they've played at home in 5 years or something ludicrous. Just happened to be the one game that I was trying to go to as part of the doubleheader. So we sort of had to rethink our plans a bit. And the guys I was going to the doubleheader with, some guys from the Banished to the Penn site, we kind of talked about it. And they said, well, you know, you want to see the Giants. So rather than go to the Cubs game, we'll go to the White Sox. But then I was just kind of playing around on StubHub and found that we could basically go and sit in pretty decent seats at Guaranteed Rate Field for about $10. So we went the night before and we saw Cleveland absolutely slaughter the White Sox. This was the 15th win of their record-breaking streak. Corey Kluber, he gave up two homers in the first and then he blew everybody away. And I thought for a moment that he was going to break the MLB strikeout, single game strikeout record. It was on, he had 13 strikeouts through six. So he was on through then, but then he got a couple of grounders in the seventh and that was the end of it. And they pulled him after that. So that was pretty entertaining. It was quite a fun experience. Lots of Guaranteed Rate Field merch, which I'm actually going to, I've got a lot of things on now, so you have to bear with me. I want to talk about free stuff at American parks. I don't, you talked about this recently, Ben, you got some, you got a bobblehead, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, one thing we found out was, this is my t-shirt.
Oh, I'm loving that. That's good.
This you just get for just for checking in on the ballpark app at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Really?
Yeah, you get that t-shirt.
Oh, just scroll down a sec because people aren't going to see it. Well, we could already.
Yeah, if you can probably, they can go back and look at the YouTube thing, right?
Yeah, they'll be able to. Or also, I'll try and describe it now. So it looks like a player who has he got a ball for a head as well.
No, I think he's just but in front of a giant baseball. So it looks like somebody's cut Mr. Met's head off and then placed it on the field behind him, maybe.
Yeah, so there's a giant ball behind a player. It looks like he's either taking a swing or he's sort of doing that long stretch to pull out his quad and work his hamstring at the same time. So it's almost like a lunge. And then the bat, which is giant, almost like a Final Fantasy style bat, has got White Sox written on it. And that was free.
That was free. Yeah, we both got one of these, me and my other half, just for checking in on the app. You can see at the bottom there is an MLB ballpark logo here.
Yeah.
I
quite like that.
Yeah, so that was quite good. But we also went there on a night that happened to be a T-shirty thing giveaway. So I'm going to put this on as well now.
Oh, you're putting it on as well? Oh, okay.
I'm going to put it on live. Yeah, this is all part of the...
This is good.
This is exciting.
This was two in one game. So I quite like this as well, actually. It's like the Sox, White Sox logo, but it's got all the names. I don't know how easy it is to see. It's like famous Sox players throughout the years.
Oh, cool.
So you got like Frank Thomas on there and, yeah, all sorts. I think they're probably legible on there. But, so that was quite cool. And it's actually...
Yeah, so for those that won't see it, so it's the Sox logo. It's the S-O-X, like the sort of descending Sox logo. And then the word Sox is made up of all the different players that have played for the White Sox. Is Big Game James on there? Can you spot him there?
Well, I think they left Big Game James off the list of White Sox legends, sadly.
Brett Laurie, maybe?
No, I don't see Brett Laurie either. A bit of an oversight. I might drop him an email.
This is terrible. This is not as good as I thought, actually.
Yeah, I see Carlton Fisk, Luis Aparicio. Yeah, they're all actually good players, which is a bit disappointing. Okay,
fair enough.
Yeah, but one thing that you will like, Tom, is you can see this on the sleeve there.
Oh, word. That is beautiful. That is awesome.
So Guaranteed Rate branded now.
I love that.
So those are the two t-shirts we got the first night.
That's fantastic.
Then the Friday night, we go to this game that was supposed to be the second part of the doubleheader. This is when the Giants were in town. Now, I challenge you to guess what the promotion was on Friday, September the 8th. Do you have any ideas for what you think might be sort of a seasonal, topical thing?
Friday, September the 8th. Well, when I was supposed to go to Detroit, it was fireworks night, and it seemed like it was fireworks night pretty much every Friday, but there must be something else going on as well.
They do love the fireworks. They set off fireworks every time a player hits a home run, and they did have fireworks after this event, but it was actually halfway to St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, of course. I
should... Sponsored by Jameson. So yeah. They give us these, what I presume are supposed to be Irish-style flat caps.
Oh, yes, Darius.
That is appalling.
So, yep. So Jameson's put that on, and fireworks and everything.
Again, people can't see. Just imagine a Yorkshire flat cap. Is it grey? Is it checkered or anything? Or just
plain gray? It's a bit sort of tweedy.
See, okay, yeah. So it's quite tweedy, and then it's got the Descending Sox logo on one side.
And branded with...
I wouldn't go that way. That actually suits you. I don't want to say that too surprisingly, but that suits you.
Well, I'm going to put one more thing on, because we also got a free hat at the Cubs game, which is this terrible likeness of Anthony Rizzo. With the 44 on the back there.
That is a terrible hat. I would not wear that hat. I bet Ben would love that.
I love that hat.
Well, we did have two, but we gave one to a guy at the bar we went to afterwards, because he said that he knew a kid who would really like it. So we've only come back with one. But you can have this one if you want it, Ben.
The hat for the modern millennial.
And it's sponsored by Bona, who are apparently the official Italian.
Beg your pardon?
Of both the Cubs and the White Sox, it seemed like.
So you got a Bona, is that what you're saying?
So there we go. That's all my... it doesn't really work together. And I have got Tom something else here as well, because he said, get me a crappy piece of guaranteed rate field merchandise.
Yeah, just to clarify, I wanted something that was purely guaranteed rate field. I didn't want anything to do with the White Sox, just purely guaranteed rate field.
Yeah, so, I mean, it does have the White Sox name on it, but it is very focused on the field. It's this outstandingly terrible calendar. You can see that there. So
it's not even 2018, it's this year.
This year, it's 2017 Chicago White Sox. So bear in mind, I got this September the 8th, group and party areas calendar. There's your guaranteed right field seating map.
Darius, I'm so happy with that.
Yeah, we've got all the special group offers in here that you won't be able to use because it's 2017. And then pictures of various events. So, like, if you wanted a picture of someone else's family, there's someone else's family at Sox Fest.
That's fantastic.
I'll let you enjoy the pictures by yourself. I won't spoil them all now, but I can assure you it is exactly as terrible as you wanted.
We need to put this stream up and people need to watch this. I need to somehow enjoy how to cut this and then stick it on Twitter for people to look at, because this is fantastic.
I just want to enjoy the new podcast segment of Tom Pringle just describing things he's seeing on his screen.
Yeah, well, for a while on Effectively Wild, Ben and Sam describing videos was quite a popular segment. So
yeah, and I thought, why not? Let's go for it. Ben, I think we can work out some sort of three-way trade here between the three of us, because I have some as well. Have you finished, Darius, before I...
That is all the free stuff that I brought back now, yeah.
So I've ended up with something that was sent in by a listener. Well, I don't know if she's a listener, but she's a friend. And she sent something to me, and we might be able to work out a three-way trade for you to get that Rizzo hat, Ben, because I'm really not fussed about that. So I think Darius might have already seen this. This is really boring for the podcast listeners, but I don't know if you can see this. It's a snow globe, but it's a Jeff Samardzija snow globe.
Wow.
So that it's been sent to me. But if you notice, if I turn this upside down, within the glitter are tiny
sharks.
So it's got sharks in there, and there's a shark's fin on the top. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's a giant shark's fin. And if you look at the face, it looks nothing like Jeff Samardzija. It's awful. So, yeah, we might be able to work out some sort of three-way trade, or I might just keep it. And eventually, when this garage becomes some sort of studio, I might end up putting it at the back as, like, one of the things.
I think if your garage does become a studio, you should have a wall of terrible merchandise. That would be a great thing to have behind you.
Do that. Well, I this is boring me life stuff, but I am eventually going to get a shed that's going in the garden, and most of this stuff that's behind me now is going to get cleared. And I do plan to have a bit of a comfy chair and a telly on the wall and almost a bit of a man cave. Seeing as we're going to have two girls in the house and my wife, I'm definitely going to be the odd one out.
For the listeners, I'll take my turn describing things. All I can see behind Tom at the moment is a spade, a garden fork, some bicycle gear, a brick wall. It doesn't look like a podcast studio right now, or a man cave.
No, it is quite literally neither. And most of the things that are behind me have been untouched for about a year, especially that bike, which cost £1,000, well, £800. And I haven't used it since my daughter was born. So that was a bit of a waste of money. So what did you eat at those two games? Can you remember?
Those two games? I'm trying to think. We looked at the helmet nachos, but I don't know if this is a regulation all over the US or just in Illinois or what. They had the unfortunate feature of having to put the calories underneath each product. the helmet nachos also had a concerningly wide range. It was ranged between 2,000 and 3,200 calories for the helmet nachos. Having actually already eaten something that day, I thought maybe I probably can't justify this.
You have to just be gluttonous. I remember going to Canadian basketball and eating what's it called? Is it poutine? Where it's basically chips, cheese, and gravy.
Oh yeah,
and that's horrendously bad for you. I was having a heart attack as I was eating it.
The other thing that put me off was that I'd seen somebody with their helmet nachos at Wrigley, and they just sort of looked like horrible sort of mush, like somebody had taken a rolling pin or something and just bashed the nachos into submission and then sort of mixed it up with some sour cream at the bottom of the helmet. So I wasn't really particularly enamored of that. So I think we just had a burger then. And then I'd actually been taken to some sort of weird local fusion. I think it was Korean Polish or something, by shout out to Brandon Lee from Banish of the Pen. He's a Chicago native. He said, I want to try this super weird place. Actually very good. So we didn't have that, but I did have something else that's apparently a local Chicago delicacy, which is the combination of cheese and caramel popcorn, which was quite strange. The cheese was a bit like Watsits, really. It was that kind of, it wasn't real cheese. It was like Watsit flavored cheese.
You surprise me. The Americans don't put real cheese in things.
So the caramel was actually pretty good, but it was quite hard to get the caramel without getting like the orangey Watsit powder all over your hands anyway. So yeah, that was the taste of America.
So out of the two ballparks then, what's your sort of rankings between the two?
I think Wrigley was still like more exciting to go to, just with the ivy, and it's quite, the neighborhood is fun, you know, you feel like you're properly in the streets. It's kind of felt like more of a community thing. Guaranteed Rate is sort of stuck out in the middle of nowhere, really. Well, not nowhere, but there's a big freeway nearby, and there's not really anything residential immediately. There is a very nice view of the Chicago skyline as you go up to the park, so that was good. And inside, very nice. They did the fireworks with the home run. Their video board display was pretty flash, and they had a lot of advanced stats, believe it or not. We had some WOBA and WRC Plus, I think, was on there, and they were explaining WAR. Apparently, this is sort of since the new regime took over, this has been kind of a thing that they've emphasized. So I think they're amongst the leading teams in terms of trying to educate the fans about stats. And someone suggested that perhaps it's also because not that many people are coming to the park anyway, so they thought they might as well try and appeal to some stats guys. So that was pretty interesting. But yeah, it was just pretty cool to go to Wrigley, and the atmosphere was better there because it was actually full, whereas I don't think there was more than half full seats either of the White Sox games, really.
Yeah. So apart from the apart from the Kent blunder, was there anything really special that happened during any of the games for you?
This is a loaded question. I know where you're leading me here. Yeah. The hero, the Red Sox, does he qualify as the Red Sox worst ever signing, or have you got a worst one that springs to mind?
There are a few that get thrown into there, like Crawford and who else got thrown into it? There was a bit of a poll going on in Section 10, but they said, right, apart from Sandoval, who's...
So he was disqualified.
Yeah, I think it was Crawford, number one. But I think because it's obviously recency bias. But no, it probably is a terrible and maybe the worst signing. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, Pablo Sandoval, I think he was 0 for 39 coming into the game, hit a home run. It was glorious. Everybody was stunned, I think. Possibly there were White Sox fans who didn't realise that he was terrible in the first place and sort of were maybe just thought, oh, yeah, here's Pablo Sandoval. He's a Giants player because they haven't seen us for 3 years, I guess. But, yeah, actually went pretty deep, put a good swing on the ball. So, yeah, looked more like Pablo of old, which he hasn't really done at any point for the last 3 years. And
Did you stand in disbelief and just open mouth, or did you cheer? And
I think it was probably the most shocked I was. I think between Kluber actually giving up a couple of homers and that, I think those were my two most stunned moments. But I was more stunned for Pablo. I don't think I did cheer because I was too surprised.
So, do you think you're done with Chicago, or are you going to go back?
I think maybe at some point. There are certainly other baseball cities I'd like to get to, and in certain parks. I'd love to go to Fenway. Pittsburgh's supposed to be really good. So there's a bunch there. And obviously in that area, you can maybe go to several in one trip. So I think I feel like I've done the Chicago area and parks pretty well for a while now. But certainly it was a good experience. I would go back given the opportunity. And yeah, I think both of them were pretty good parks to go to. They weren't the Oakland Coliseum. Which I didn't actually think was that bad anyway. But I think they both comfortably rank above that. And Chicago is a great city for anybody thinking about going. We spent a ton of time in the museums and the sky deck. And yeah, there's a million things to do. And I didn't really feel like we got to them all, even though we probably spent 8 or 9 days in the city. So if you're thinking about going to Chicago, two ballparks, very easy to get to and tons of other stuff to do.
That's fantastic.
Just avoid the pizza.
Yeah, don't have the pizza.
That's incredibly disappointing. About that, there's a few things not to mess with. So for me, you don't put fruit on pizza, you don't put milk and sugar in coffee because you're not tasting the coffee, and you don't mess with water, like having flavored water. Why do people do that?
I don't know.
Yells at clouds.
And no chocolate before 10 o'clock. Who does that?
Oh, yeah, we should talk about this, your militant anti-chocolate stance.
Well, for me personally, sorry everyone, this isn't baseball. For me personally, like, certain foods have hours; they have regulated hours. Like, especially cold pizza is 24 hours; you can eat that whenever you want. Now, hot pizza, probably talking from about 11 onwards until about 2 a.m, then no more. Don't have hot pizza for breakfast. But my big one was no chocolate before 10 o'clock in the morning, which I think is reasonable.
What about on Christmas Day?
Why do you have chocolate in the morning?
When you're a kid, don't you eat chocolate in the morning? I used to.
Oh, to be fair, okay, yeah. So advent calendars, etc. You probably still have one, but I mean, advent calendars and stuff. Then yeah, that's fair enough. But as an adult, I'm thinking, well, I don't want chocolate first thing. It's too sweet. Is it just me? Has anyone else got any regulations on hours for food?
I mean, there are things that I don't want a lot of. Like, I don't want to go overboard. I'm not saying that I eat a bar of chocolate for breakfast or anything, but I quite like cereal with a little bit of chocolate in it. I probably haven't really grown up either, so that helps. But
I'm glad you said that, Darius.
I don't want to eat a load of cake. Like, we had a bake-off at work earlier this year. I was a cake judge for the bake-off, and but the judging was at about 9:30. You don't want to eat 12 cakes at 9:30, I discovered.
Terrible,
but I think much less strict than your regulations.
Yeah, to be fair, I think maybe it's because I'm 34. They're starting to get a bit of a pot now. I need to think about these things, and I can't be eating chocolate that early. Ben, you're probably still eating like burgers after dinner and things like that because you just can't.
I'm dreadful when it comes to my diet. I always get laughed at work because I eat like an absolute slob. I eat snacks, crisps, biscuits all during the day. I'm fortunate and I don't put on weight that easily, so it never really like comes back to haunt me, but there's going to be a time in a couple of years where my metabolism slows down and I'm going to sit here on the podcast an absolute slob, unable to get out of my chair, saying I wish I listened to Tom and didn't eat chocolate for breakfast every morning of my life.
Oh, Ben, I remember my uncle saying it to me because he just looked at me and I was exactly the same, just destroying chocolate and crisps and like not putting on any weight whatsoever. And it's like, you just wait until you hit 30. Anyway, I think we've probably talked about our personal lives enough now. So should we talk about some baseball, even though there's not a lot going on? Let's start with the team that's currently holding the second place in the wildcard race in the AL, and that's the Minnesota Twins. Now, as they said on Effectively Wild, I'm not sure that team exists anymore, but they actually do exist. And in second place in the wild card race. So, Ben, we'll start with you. What do you think of the Minnesota Twins then? Are they holding on?
It's really weird to me because all year they've been doing well, and all year I've been like, oh, well, the Twins will fade down the stretch. Like, it's just been sort of in my head, it's just going to happen at some point. And now we're, what, like 2 weeks out at the end of the season and they're still there and they're actually increasing their lead in the last couple of days, which is bizarre. I just can't see anyone on that team that I think, oh, yeah, that's a playoff contender right there. But yeah, they're doing well. I think they've got a series with the Yankees starting tonight, which will be big because obviously those are the two teams right now that are on the slate to play the wild card game. So if they lose those three, then certainly they're in a bit of trouble. But yeah, I don't know. I've been doubting them all year and they've been proving me wrong. So I feel like at this point, I've kind of got to say, you know, tip my hat to them and say, yeah, this is probably going to be a wild card team, and fair play to them for getting there.
I think I planned to this year, like many things, I wanted to do sort of month by month rolling of what the latest stories are and what the latest, you know, hot teams and not teams and how they're getting on. And the Twins was that one, exactly the same as you said. I thought there's no way this is going to last. It can't. And it's almost like last year, which you reminded me about on a pod recently, where we're talking about a White Sox Cubs World Series last season, because the White Sox just went storming out of the gate and they looked amazing. So I thought the Twins would be exactly the same. Darius, have you got much to add?
No, I mean, I think this is a product of the fact that none of these teams are particularly good. And the Twins certainly have some players that I like. I mean, Byron Buxton kind of looks like he's actually good now, which we've been talking about, I think, for 4 or 5 years, but it seems to have finally happened for him. And I love Miguel Sano. He's hurt right now. But overall, I don't think they're a particularly good team. And I think they've benefited from a couple of surprising performances and the fact that their main competition is teams like the Angels and the Mariners and teams like that, which haven't really impressed either. And somebody's got to get the second wild card. So I guess it looks like it's going to be Minnesota.
Yeah, I think you're right on the level of competition. I mean, you look at like the Nationals and the NL East, that division is dog shit. And they've just run away with it. So I think there was a point, was it something like there was going to be a five-way tie, potential five-way tie in the AL wildcard? Because it was so tight and ridiculous.
Yeah. But they've all, like Darius said, they've all just, we're sort of waiting for one team to take the initiative and no one really has. And the Twins have sort of steadily sort of plodded along is the best way to put it, I guess. And no one else has, you know, the Angels have lost games, the Rays have been terrible, the Orioles have been terrible. And the Yankees haven't been great, but they're still sitting there pretty much guaranteed a postseason spot now. So it's been a bit underwhelming, really, on the AL side. But
yeah, I am disappointed because I wanted this five-way tie, and it kind of looks like we're not even going to get a two-way tie.
No. I mean, to be fair, the Angels are only a game and a half out, so they're not like way behind. I think with the Mariners 4 games out, we can kind of write them off. They could go on a run, but I'm just looking at their most recent last 10. They're 5-5, the Mariners. And the Rangers are 3-6, the Royals are 4-6, and the Rays are 3-7. So they're just all fading. But you look at the Twins, 5-5, Angels 4. Like you said, it's just utter tripe out there.
It's boring, isn't it? Every team's been 5-5 for the last 2 months.
Well, you're talking about the Yankees as well, saying they haven't been great. I mean, they're 8-2 in the last 10, and they've matched the Red Sox. So we've just been 3 games ahead the whole time. So every time we lose, the Yankees lose. Every time we win, the Yankees win. They've just been matching each other. So I think out of all the divisions, really, that's still the tightest one. I think is the NL Central tied up now?
I mean, not quite. The Cards are basically finished after getting swept over the weekend by the Cubs. But the Brewers are still in it just about. And I think if they went on a good run, I think the next few days are probably going to decide it.
Who have the Brewers got coming up? Do we know? Has anyone got the schedule handy there?
Have a look.
Because, I mean, yeah, you're saying, I have to be honest, I thought the Brewers had just faded completely, but just looking at them now, they're 8-2 in the last 10. They've won the last two, and like you say, the Cardinals sweep at the weekend was just horrendous.
They've got the Pirates tonight, the Brewers.
Oh, they have? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, there's a chance for the Brewers to start. Got,
3 games at the Cubs at the weekend too, so you sweep that, and you never know.
Yeah, good point. What was great about last weekend, though, was Lackey Face, which was probably one of the most entertaining things ever. And sorry, Ben, who's the guy you're talking about on YouTube who does those videos?
Yeah, Andrew Varga is his name. Okay. He was on the Effectively Wild podcast, I think, yesterday. He's been my YouTube hero all season because he puts up the wackiest videos. So he put up a compilation of John Lackey getting really angry. He's put up a compilation of like Steve Cishek blowing saves. Ryan Howard defensive highlights, and they actually are Ryan Howard defensive highlights, but no one's ever thought to put them up before.
Like, that's not sarcastic, they actually are defensive highlights.
Yeah, so as he mentions on the Effective Reward, like, because people just think that he's absolutely terrible, then you watch him, you think, no, he's actually an athlete, he's actually somebody who can play this position, and that's why he's there, he's proven it. But yeah, the the Lackey face, that was the one I was thinking of, and the fact that as they were recording Effectively Wild, he was saying, oh, Lackey's getting mad, I've just come up with another idea for a video. And obviously put that one together. So are we saying the Twins have not locked it, but the Twins look a bit... do you know what? I'm just looking at it, because the Twins and the Angels are just both terrible. I think someone's just going to go on a little run and then take it, and that's it. And I think I've got a sneaky feeling it's still going to be the Angels.
I hope it comes down at least to last week. Give us something interesting to watch.
I hope it's the Angels and that Mike Trout hits 500 over the next 2 weeks and wins the MVP again.
That'd be good. Stop all this judge chat, which is good. I just looked at the run differential as well. So the Yankees have got a run differential of 175. So the Twins, who are in second place for the wildcard race, have a run differential of +8. That's a significant difference. let's get on to the NL then, which Ben, you've got quite a large interest in. So how are your Rockies doing?
They're doing all right. I suppose when we were doing a podcast last week, it was sort of panic time for the Rockies because we were looking really rough. But we've sort of steadied the ship a bit since then. I think other around then we swept the Dodgers and we've beaten the Diamondbacks and we're facing the Padres right now. I think the next few series are all fairly comfortable. We've got the Giants and maybe the Marlins. So you really never know with the Rockies because they're so inconsistent. But looking at the schedule, you think they should at least go 500, which should be enough to keep them, you know, in and around that wild card chase. But yeah, it's a weird feeling for me. In my entire time watching baseball, I've never been able to, you know, wake up in the morning excited to see how my team's done rather than, oh, look, another blowout loss. Okay. So it's been good fun. And inevitably, we're going to get beaten by Grinky in the wild card game. But hey, at least we'll get there and give ourselves a shot if we do.
I think that's it. And like when I was chatting to Brian Joyner the other week, we were talking about the Red Sox almost being like a number sort of 4 or 5 seed in the NBA where, you know, they could go the distance, but they probably won't. I think with the wildcard game, just momentum, you could end up seeing the Rockies going quite far. But I think if they're going to have to get past the Diamondbacks, then where's that lines them up with the Dodgers then, doesn't it?
Yeah, Dodgers or Nationals in all likelihood.
And then it'll line them up with... Cubs
or Nationals.
Yeah, it's not going to be great, is it?
No, that's the thing. You've got to beat some really good teams over that time. And whilst I think the Rockies can win one game, you know, on its own, I can't see them beating 3 teams and going to the World Series. But yeah, like you say, the playoffs are a bit of a crapshoot. And once you're in it, you give yourself a chance. And I've got £10 riding on them. I don't know. I can't remember how much it will make me back. Quite a lot, I think, because it was the Rockies. But for the first time in ages, my yearly bet is actually looking pretty good come September.
I'm still tempted 1 year to put a £1 bet on because I it's obviously Red Sox and Patriots for me, but then I've got the Mavericks, Dallas Mavericks in the NBA and St. Louis Blues in ice hockey. I'm still tempted to put a £1 bet on each year for all 4 to go all the way and win it all, which would be a ridiculous return. And considering that the St. Louis Blues have never won the Stanley Cup, so I don't think it's going to happen. Darius, have you got any crazy bets on, like maybe the Giants pulling it out of the bag? And oh no, they're eliminated. They're gone.
Yeah, I mean the Giants are gunning for the number one pick now. I think they might actually get it, so that would be exciting. Oh, yeah. I don't think they've never had the number one pick as long as I've been a fan, so that would be something to look forward to. Yeah, I'm mainly betting on the Angels right now, just because I want to be right about them making the playoffs. But the Rocks certainly look pretty good. I think they've got the Giants for 2 games. Looks like they've got the Padres 4 games after that, and then 3 against the Marlins, and then finally they have to face the Dodgers. But hopefully they'll have it wrapped up by then. I do kind of want the Brewers to get in as well because they're fun. But I think I'd feel really bad for the Rockies fans after being in the wild card slot all year for them to miss the playoffs.
I'm kind of with you on that because like the Brewers, they're sort of. Is this still classed as their rebuild? They've come into it and just been absolutely brilliant and they've just surprised everyone.
Yeah, they don't seem...
Brewers are a really fun team as well.
I don't feel like they've suffered as much. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brewers fans. Maybe you have suffered as much as the Rockies fans, but it doesn't feel like it.
They were like a 95 win team a few years ago, weren't they, back when they were at the peak of their powers. I know they're not so good now, but
when Braun was MVP in that, yeah
exactly. The Yorkers fans had to wait like 10 years for a postseason appearance.
Did I read that Eric Thames had hit his 30th home run the other day?
I think he's got his 31st as well now. He's really been quite bad since the first month, but he has got there.
Everyone's just stopped talking about him, and he's still really good.
Yeah, I think if you looked at his stats and took out April, they'd probably be pretty disappointing.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah. I only say that because I have him in fantasy, so I know.
Okay, fair enough. So second half, he's hit 8 home runs. He's batting .235. The slugging percentage is .469, so it's not that bad.
It's okay, but I mean, everybody slugs .469 now. Freddie Galvis is probably slugging that.
That's true, but he was meant to be a power hitter because I had him in the fantasy team last year and he was meant to be a power hitter and did nothing last year, but now he's quite good.
We can probably officially move Thames down from a river to like an estuary now.
Hold on, estuary's bigger.
Is it? Oh, maybe. No, estuary's like a lake, isn't it? I got that completely wrong.
Estuary's the bit that goes out to the sea.
Yeah, I live next to an estuary, so I know what one is. It's definitely the bit that goes out to a sea.
I'm watching that analogy completely.
Is he a brook? Has he gotten down to a babbling brook yet?
A babbling brook.
His WRC plus in the second half is 102, so he's two better than the norm.
Yeah, so not exciting.
No, not exciting at all. So we're kind of hoping the Twins do it. We're kind of hoping the Angels do it for Darius's bet. We feel bad, but we kind of want the Brewers to do it. Who do we think is actually going to do it, though?
I mean, I think the safe bet at this point is just to bet on who's already in it. We haven't got very much time left. The most likely thing to me seems that the Twins will cough it up to the Angels. Other than that, I think everything's going to stay as it is. I don't think the Brewers are going to overtake the Cubs or the Rockies. And obviously the divisional winners are more or less locked in unless your Red Sox manage to cough it up.
Don't. That's my next point. I'm still nervous and I don't believe the Yankees are a better team. I've been harping on about the Yankees starting rotation all year, but it's actually quite good. And it's managed to hold on for the whole year. I thought Tanaka would be gone halfway through the season with an injury. But the fact that the Red Sox are 3 games ahead obviously means a lot. And we don't play the Yankees again, which is great. We've got a load of pretty much nothing teams towards the end. I think the problem we've got is our final 4 games are against the Astros, they've locked it up now, so they're going to be putting nobody out there to play. But we could potentially have 9 games against the Astros when the season comes to a close. So we'll play the Astros 4 times and then go into a playoff series with them and potentially go 5 games, which would just be miserable playing the Astros.
I'd be so sick of them.
Yeah. Massively. But hopefully we've got it locked up by then so we can just put some nobodies out there and we can have Brian Johnson pitching. Red Sox are the ones that worry me. Ben, do you think the Red Sox are going to blow it?
No, I don't think they are. I think you should be a little bit nervous just because the Yankees have been pretty good lately. Like I mentioned, I didn't expect that rotation to hold up, but it has. And now they've got a few pretty strong arms there. Even Chapman, I think he hit like 104 last night, didn't he? He looks like he's back towards his best form and that lineup's good. But yeah, no, I think you'll hold on to the division. Maybe not do it in style, but you'll get there. And then, yeah, I mean, last year it seemed like, because you guys finished the season really strong, didn't you? And you went into the postseason kind of fancied a little bit and then ran into the Indians. This year might be nice to have a little bit less pressure on and just sort of be unfancied and see where you go from there. With Chris Sale, I mean, that's an ace. So you've got that locked in. Porcello's not been great, but gives you a chance. And that lineup's been pretty good for most of the year. I mean, Mookie Betts is no Aaron Judge, but he's not a bad player, so you never know.
Who's the other comparison we had the other day?
Bellinger and Hoskins.
Oh, so yeah, it was Hoskins, wasn't it? That was it. They were saying Hoskins is better than Aaron Judge. Another good one. Yeah, I mean, with Pomerantz has been just amazing for us this season, which I wasn't really expecting. I mean, now David Price is back. Which will be quite interesting to see how he works out there. And he's more than happy with that role. He's gone straight into it and said, yeah, fine, I'll go and do it. But I don't think he could realistically come back and start. So, but let's talk about our competition between us. So the crap catcher competition. So If, for those who are unfamiliar with it, I said many, many podcasts ago that Christian Vasquez was going to the Hall of Fame, which John scoffed at. But prior to that, actually, I said that Jose Perello would be a superb hitter for the Padres, which, again, Darius scoffed at. I'm just going to load up the Padres second half of the season as I'm talking, because it's quite an important person at the top of this list. Darius scoffed at Jose Perello not being a good player, and it's probably the one thing that I've got right this season, so I'm quite happy with that. But I said that Christian Vasquez was going to get to the Hall of Fame. John laughed at me, many others laughed at me, and then we decided to have a bit of competition between us. So we all picked players that were currently worse than Christian Vasquez in terms of WRC+. And then we had to ride it out for the rest of the season and see how we went. So we've all picked players. Obviously, I had Vasquez. Darius, you had Brian McCann at the Tigers.
James McCann.
Sorry, James McCann.
McCann's the other one.
Brian McCann, he's the one at the Astros, isn't he?
That probably would have been cheating, although I think James McCann's been better.
Has he?
Yeah.
Ben, you had Tony...
Walters.
Walters, there we go. And John had Jet Bandy, just purely before his name, which was quite funny. So, Darius, drum roll, we're coming close to the end now. How are we all looking?
Well, first of all, I think we should say that, to your credit, Christian Vasquez has not been terrible. I'm not sure he's been Hall of Fame level either. he's basically been pretty decent. James McCann is leading the way. His WRC plus since we started this bet is 116. He's hit 299, 363, 443 over 215 plate appearances. I think he's just about got it wrapped up now. There was a little while there where Vasquez seemed to be on a hot streak, but McCann seemed to match him every night, much like the Yankees and Red Sox. Vasquez is at 91. He's hit 277, 323, 407. I think he probably also gets dinged a little bit because Boston isn't a better place to hit than Detroit is. And then I'm going to have to scroll down a little bit. First of all, I'll say sorry, John, because Jet Bandy is, well, he's not hurt anymore, but he was hurt for so long that there's no way that John could reach our plate appearance minimum. So his only hope now is that Tony Walters, who has 106 plate appearances and he needs 110, does not get four plate appearances over the next, whatever it is we have, 13 days of the season. Tony Walters, I'm looking at catches with at least 50 plate appearances since we started the bet, has been the worst catcher in baseball. it's not particularly close. His WRC plus is negative 15. He has hit 149, 238, 170. That's a 408 OPS. That is playing in Coors Field. I'm not really quite sure how he's managed this, but well done to Ben for picking the worst catcher in baseball and somehow still not losing this bet.
So for those that aren't familiar, WRC plus, and correct me if I'm saying this wrong, WRC plus 100 is average.
Yeah,
above 100 right. is good. Anything below 100 is bad. And he's minus 15.
Yeah, he's so bad he's basically broken the stat a little bit.
Oh, Ben, that's a great shout.
Thanks a lot, mate.
The high-flying Padres, Jose Perello leads them in batting WRC plus of 125. Come on, I've got one
more. To be fair, I think I just said he wasn't going to lead the league for the rest of the week.
Well, wasn't he? It was just that week he was leading.
Yeah, you said he was the best hitter in baseball, and I said, well, he won't be the best hitter in baseball. The podcast.
Are any Padres hitters on minus? Regular Padres hitters? No.
I'm just going to have a look, actually. Now, I'm going to take out the catcher filter. I'm going to see if any regular hitters are at minus. There is a Chris Stewart of the Pirates is also a minus, but he's only a minus four.
Luis Torrens, who's a catcher for the Padres, on minus 12. So it's close. He's had 51 plate appearances. So, yeah, he's bad. The idea of the competition, actually, was that one of us next season will be writing about a team that the winner of the competition gets to pick. So it's going to be tight. And we all know that John doesn't like pretty much every team apart from the Brewers and the Red Sox. Although he's not too fond of the Red Sox at the moment and all the recent news. But I'm still confused as who would pick for Ben. Darius, you had some ideas. Are you going to reveal any at all?
I suppose I might as well reveal them now, seeing as it doesn't look like we're going to have to pick anything for Ben. I was actually going to make him write about the Royals, because I think the Royals are going to be absolutely dreadful next year because all their sort of big guys, their contracts are coming to the end. They're going to leave in free agency. They're just going to be miserable. I don't think their farm system is particularly good. So I thought it would be quite entertaining to see what Ben makes of a team with such little prospects going forward.
Yeah, that would have been awful. So boring at the best of times.
I think mine might have been dangerous just because they're playing in the West as well, just to make it even more miserable. The fact that not only the Rockies, but also the Rangers.
I don't hate the Rangers so much.
You don't hate the Rangers as much.
No. You've got Beltre.
That's
true. Just gift Beltre.
Just constantly. Just Beltre gifts and that's it.
Just gifts, yeah. That's okay, what I do so anyway.
We asked for some listener questions. They come in thick and fast. No, they didn't. So the first one we got was from Rob Navera, who said, Darius, what was the most American thing you saw to eat in the ballpark on your trip?
I think it had to be the helmet nachos. It was so extravagant. And, it's a full-size helmet here. So we're not talking like some little toy helmet that they give you to more accurately represent a nacho portion. It's just a full helmet of nachos. So I think that was probably the most American thing I saw.
It sounds like it's got to be. I always imagine something that's like hot dogs, like as long as your arm or something. I've seen those sorts of things.
I know like the Rangers have some ludicrous things. Like they have, or maybe it's the Diamondbacks have the churro dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which looks just horrendous. But they don't seem to have anything quite that extreme at the parks that I've been to.
Okay, right. So our next question came from Andy Lysette, who I have no idea what he's talking about here. I don't know if you two have got a clue. Having seen the ball sink in the Rays tank very quickly, are we sure baseballs used haven't changed? Are we sure the baseballs used haven't changed, leading to more home runs? And he mentioned about trying to find a video for it. I don't know, Darius, do you have a clue on this?
I assume, they have a tank at the Trop. So I haven't seen the video, but I assume he has seen a baseball that's sunk to the bottom of that tank after being hit for a home run. And he thinks that that is somehow indicative of a change in the ball. For Andy's benefit, there is quite a lot of good research out there. Ben Lindbergh's done a lot. Rob Arthur over at 538. The balls are different. There is less drag on them. The seams are lower and they're kind of a little bit bouncier as well. Their coefficient of restitution is higher. Go and read Ben and Rob's articles. They will explain it all. The upshot is that, yes, the ball is different. It's going further. We're going to have the most home runs ever in a baseball season. And it's not going to be particularly close. I think this is already the most home runs we've ever had, second to the 2000 season. And we've obviously got nearly 2 weeks to go. So I think we're on pace for well over 6,000. And it's probably significantly because of the ball and because players have realised the ball is going further. I think they're probably trying to hit home runs a little bit more as well.
Andy did actually send a video, which I can't get to load. It's from MLB, but it looks like the experiment's already been conducted where they've taken an old ball and a new ball and dropped them into a tank and then they watch how fast it drops. But I don't think there's been any chat of it being heavier. As you said, it's more sort of spongy and reacts a bit more.
Yeah, I don't think the weight test revealed anything like that. I think that's quite similar.
No, okay. That was all we had. We did have a shout out as well, or a request, which clearly we don't mind doing. So Mark Blakemore was asking us if we could plug the MLB fans meetup that's happening in Leeds this Saturday night. It's going on at Shooter's Bar at the Headrow, and they're going to be starting at 5:30. So people that are up in Leeds or up in that area, please do go and visit it. So far, we've had two in London. Have we had three in London? I suppose it was two. So they've had two. On the MLB Battlegrounds, there's a bit of a meetup in the same pub to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
We've had the Manchester meetup that was organised by John. We had one in Birmingham as well that was organised by Leon Byrne. And now we've got the one in Leeds. So it's Mark Blakemore running it. So if you want to find him, it's at Mark Blakemore, just to get some more information from him. But it's happening in Leeds this Saturday night at Shooter's Bar at the Headrow. They're starting at 5:30. Cool. So something I wanted to mention, something that's been chatted about in the Slack chat recently, all about the Cardinals run. And we kind of got into a bit discussion of how does this set teams up later on in terms of playoff and, you know, do teams peak too early or if they started too late in their run sort of thing. So we kind of spitballed it about a bit. I planned to do it, and then it's been crazy busy at work. But Darius, being our resident stato, has actually done the work for us. So Darius, could you let us know post-Cardinals? Did I say Cardinals earlier as well?
You did, yeah.
You did.
Right. Post-Indians run. what's their chances going forward then, looking at history and what's happened in the past?
It hasn't been a particularly great omen, certainly not what you might think. I think there has been a bunch of research that suggests that generally being good in September doesn't really have any relationship to the playoffs. Apparently having a great streak also doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go and win the World Series. I had four teams who did win at least 15 in a row and went on to win the World Series. That's the 1913 Philadelphia Athletics, the 91 Twins, and then you're probably not going to like this very much, Tom, but the Yankees twice, both in 1953 and also in 1947. Basically the Yankees come up quite a lot in this, either from ruining other people's streaks or by doing it themselves and then winning the World Series. The teams that did the best, obviously, if you know anything about the 2002 Moneyball A's, they ended up losing in the playoffs, which they did, I think, in back-to-back seasons then, even though I think they won 99 and 103 games or something. The poor old Cubs, the 35 Cubs, who had the record before, the other record before Cleveland, depending on whether you take issue with the Giants' 26 games. They ended up losing the World Series after finishing 154 and winning 21 in a row in September. And those 1916 Giants, for those people who aren't familiar, they basically had a tie game in the middle of that streak. But back then, they didn't treat tie games like we do now. So they just replayed the game the next day because they couldn't finish it off due to darkness / rain, I think. And they won the rescheduled game. So the previous game doesn't really count towards the record, although the batting and pitching stats count. So the Giants did win 26 in a row by that measure. They ended up finishing fourth in the NL, so they didn't even make the playoffs. And interestingly enough, I believe that team, let me find the other one. Yeah, they actually also had a 17-game winning streak earlier that year. So basically, they had a 26-game streak and a 17-game streak, and they somehow finished in fourth place with 86 wins, which is kind of incredible.
They must have been terrible the rest of the time then, did they?
Yeah, they started 2-13.
Can you imagine Twitter if that team existed today?
Yeah. So there was certainly a lot of teams here who went on great runs, didn't really end up doing anything. Quite a few of them lost in the World Series. And the 51 Giants, who of the shot heard around the world fame, were in there. They went 50-12 over their last 62 games.
Whoa.
And ended up losing the World Series to the Yankees, but obviously they made it into the World Series from that playoff against the Dodgers. There was the Cardinals. Maybe you were just telegraphing this earlier, Tom. They did have, they basically seem to have the best end to a season of anybody I could find for a team who did win the World Series. They went 42-8 over their last 50 games in 1942 and ended up winning the World Series. They went 106-48 overall. So they're a pretty good team anyway. Cleveland has a shot to be pretty close to them, I think, but they have already lost too many games, I think, in the span, unless they win everything else the rest of the way to beat that. But overall, nothing really to suggest that we should expect Cleveland to be any better than we already did, which is a pretty good baseball team.
Excellent. So your hard research has revealed nothing is any different.
Yeah.
Cool. You've also inadvertently spoiled the end of a book for me, which I've got a book called Down to the Last Pitch, and it's about the 91 World Series between the Twins and the Braves. And I purposely was avoiding looking at Wikipedia or any results to find so I could just read the book and just...
I should have spoiler alerted that, shouldn't I? Yeah. If anybody doesn't want to know about any of these 12 teams, please. Yeah.
I'm going to reveal these World Series victories.
I think the most interesting thing I found, which is kind of topical because of Matt Boyd's near no-hitter, and I saw that MLB UK did a recent history of kind of no hitters ruined in the last out. I found out all about a guy called, Bill Bevins, who in the 1947 World Series, he was no hitting the Dodgers with two outs in the ninth. And basically the sequence of events came together. somebody walked, somebody stole second base. They pinch hit with this guy called Cookie Lavagetto. This, I believe, was the last appearance of his career. And he comes up and he hits a double, gives the Dodgers the walk-off win. So poor Bill Bevins loses his it'll be the first no-hitter in World Series history. He loses it with two outs in the ninth. The Yankees did go on to win the World Series anyway. But that was must have been a total heartbreaker, talking about games that would have blown up Twitter at the time. Can you imagine?
I was going to say, did Ben tweet just before that event saying, oh, the only way they're gonna do this is by using it with two outs in the ninth?
They caught it, didn't
they? Mate, it was spot on. It was always going to happen.
Slightly better than my Tony Waters prediction anyway.
And thanks for spoiling that World Series as well, Darius. I was avoiding that.
Yeah, I have several other World Series I can spoil, but I think I've probably done enough for today.
Cool. Right then. Ben, I just wanted to quickly mention for you guys as well at MLB UK for that excellent Keith Lampard video that's gone up. If you haven't seen it, go and look at the MLB UK account. It's a very short video just explaining about Keith Lampard and his importance to UK baseball and the fact that he was the last British-born player to have hit a home run in the majors. So, do we have any other business, chaps?
I think I've dealt with all of my business. I've got all my merchandise in. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We need to talk three-way trade.
Yeah, I need that shark snow globe.
You need the floating shark glitter. Oh, look at it. It's amazing.
I still have the NAF merchandise I got you guys from City Field, too, I have to send out. I'm not sure it's as good as your guys' NAF merchandise, but it's something.
Have you got it there, Javi? Can you show us or not?
I can't show it to you. It's actually upstairs, but we'll save that one for the next podcast. That's enough for us describing things to the poor listeners for one episode.
Cool. So, yeah, you've been listening to Batflips and Nerds. You can find us at batflipsandnerds.com. I've been your host, Tom Pringle. You can find me at Pedroia's Face. I'm thinking about changing that. I really am. But I might just keep it somewhere so it can get redirected. Ben, where can people find you?
You can find me at UK Baseball Blog. But more importantly, you can find me at MLB_UK. Go and follow at MLB_UK now. Do it.
Darius, if you can edit that out. Oh, he's gone. Oh, Darius is gone. What's Darius's name on Twitter? It's Darius A64, isn't he?
It is, yeah.
Okay, you can find Darius Austin on Twitter, Darius A64. You can also find him on Baseball Prospectus. I was going to say Boston then, but no, Wrigleyville site, where he does a lot of writing, and Banish the Pen as well, where he does many, many good articles, including their Sabermetric Starters Pack, whatever it's called, where I really like this because it's nice and simple for me as well. So they're doing a load of cards at the moment where they explain stats, where they've come from, sort of what's a good player, what's a bad player, what's an average player. So you don't just stare at the numbers and wonder what they all mean. But yes, thanks for listening. Please do go and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, etc. blah. We're probably going to start doing some sort of review of the week to try and get some more reviews and do some giveaways. But we'll let you guys know. In the meantime, I hope you've enjoyed learning about all my eating habits, including timings, all of Darius's calorie intakes, and whether Ben plays Pokemon Go or not. So thanks very much, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye.